Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we should be getting to your business news here in just a couple of minutes with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, I'm just scanning some of the headlines here in the print edition. This is about, you know, 8 pages, you know, full print. For those of you especially that like an old school newspaper that you can pick up and read, this is packed full of information. Some of the headlines just on the front page right here. Montana opioid epidemic not slowing down. Some new numbers here from the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Task Force. And then another big one, electric transmission line would be a game changer for Montana. Stockman Bank getting a best in state shout out. This came, I think, from Forbes and Statista, however you want to pronounce that one. They do statistics, insight, and analysis, et cetera. And then, of course, a federal judge issues injunction stopping Joe Biden's Title IX rules. Anyway, some great content there. Let's see. I wonder if that might be Evelyn on line one. Michael, if you mind checking to see if that's her calling in for us here this morning. One more thing I wanted to share here from Senator John Kennedy. You know, he was talking about, you know, how he's gotten to know Tim Sheehy, Navy SEAL veteran and Republican Senate candidate. And he described him as a rock star and said, you know, not only do we need his vote in the United States Senate, he said, we need his brain power in the United States Senate. You know, it was funny earlier when they were talking about how, you know, if they had an age limit in the United States Senate, like 2/3 of the senators would be gone. I think Tim Sheehy is like half the age of 2/3 of the United States Senate, but twice the brain power of most of them as well.
Well, if great question, Aaron. If the Democrats replace President Biden, the obvious next person up is Vice President Harris. And I know the Vice President. I served in the United States Senate with her. We sat on the Judiciary Committee together. Let me say it again. I don't hate anyone. But if you talk to the American people, they don't have a lot of confidence in the vice president's ability to be an effective president either. In the minds of many Americans, how can I put this? When the vice president's IQ gets to 75, she ought to sell. Now I'm not. That's not me saying that. I think that's what the American people think about her, fair or unfair. So it was not a good night for the president. It was pretty much a goat rodeo.
Yeah, pretty much a goat rodeo. Yeah, I haven't been overseas. I've taken part in a few goat roping events myself as well. All right, full audio with Senator Kennedy on the Montana Talks app if you missed it, plus other fresh content for you here this morning. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal right after this. We always try to start with the good news, so we'll start with the good news here right after this quick news and weather break.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The path to the majority in the House of Representatives snakes along Interstate 5 from Washington, Oregon, and into California. A dozen races there are competitive. Democrats currently control 6 of those districts, and Republicans control the other 6. If Democrats sweep the vulnerable GOP seats while holding their own, they would exceed the 4-seat gain they need for a majority. But the vulnerable Democratic seats give Republicans an opportunity to grow their majority. Look at Washington's 3rd District in the southwest part of the state. It's represented right now by Democratic freshman Marie Glusenkamp Perez. She pulled off an upset last cycle. She's facing a rematch against Republican Joe Kent. In California's 13th district, President Biden beat former President Trump with 54% in 2020, but Republican John Duarte won by 2 points in 2022. And Republican Mike Garcia has won tight races in the past. President Biden carried the district with 55% in 2020. He will face former Virgin Galactic CEO George Whitesides. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With clouds and some partial sun in some areas today, we'll also see some scattered showers and storms. High temperature readings will range from around 73 in Bozeman to about 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, scattered showers and storms, especially early, headed back in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. And then on Tuesday, still looking at some afternoon shower and storm chances. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Evelyn Pyburn with us here on this Monday. We always try to start with some good news because, you know, there's sometimes it's like the news can be all bad news, but there is good news out there. First, I want to start by sharing some good news and give a shout out here to Evelyn. You know, last week, Evelyn was singing the praises, the well-deserved praises for the Yellowstone County News and all the awards that the Yellowstone County News had won during the recent Montana Newspaper Association convention. But I got a great phone call from Jonathan McNiven, I think, on Friday. He said, hey, Evelyn deserves a big shout-out because I think for the third year in a row, Evelyn Pyburn won the award for Best Editorial. And so, Evelyn, congratulations to you. Well-deserved.
Well, thank you. I was mentioning, I there may not be very many entries. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I doubt there are because, I mean, heck, most of the editorials in the big newspapers are all left-wing, you know, crackpot editorials by and large. And then the small town weeklies, I think most of them probably just, they're like, nope, we're not even going to put our opinion out there because we don't want to tick off somebody. So, but you write some incredible editorials that folks can also find in the Big Sky Business Journal as well. Well, what do you have to start off with good news for us this morning?
Well, the film and TV companies spent $334 million in Montana over the past 2 years, according to numbers provided to the state legislators, with the program Yellowstone spending over $250 million of that, and the totals were double that of the previous years. So this report comes as the Montana State Legislature ponders tax subsidies being made to the industry. The legislature created the Big Sky Film Grant Program, and the Montana Department of Commerce recently announced $2.6 million in grants that were made to 67 film creations statewide. There were 150 projects that requested $9 million in funding. So while there's a growing industry in Montana, in the film industry, you have to also note that the expenditure by the program Yellowstone has promoted the state of Montana in such a big way, it's undoubtedly far greater than any amount that the state legislature would ever have approved in any kind of promotion of Montana. So it's a big, I guess, support for Montana, although not everyone likes all that promotion of Montana.
Well, that's right. I mean, we've certainly had some growing pains as a result, but better to be growing than to be dying, of course, from an economic standpoint, is some of the conversations we've had. But no, that's remarkable. I had seen the headlines that the film and TV productions that have taken place in the state generated $334 million. But I hadn't seen what you just shared with the fact that basically two-thirds of it is all from the hit TV show Yellowstone, which, by the way, apparently Kevin Costner is going to be done. Apparently whatever filming he did in Montana is going to be his last, at least as a part of the show Yellowstone. But yeah, they spent a lot of money, especially in the Missoula area. Filmed at Ruby's Cafe there, and they were on the steps of the Yellowstone County Courthouse, and then, of course, other parts of Montana as well. But even hiring locals, in fact, Jesse Ramos, who's now the state director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, it was kind of funny. You know, he was, I think he was still a Missoula City Council member at the time, you know, like the lone conservative. But now he's, you know, I've been partnering with him on this, you know, statewide border security rally that we did last week. But he got like this, it was like a 2-minute cameo. You know, he was playing the role of one of the lawyers in the last season of Yellowstone. I was like, holy cow, he had like the longest segment of anybody.
Yeah, I have to say I haven't watched many of those programs. I guess my initial response was, you know, I don't know very many ranchers and farmers like that.
Yeah, well, that's over the top, but that's what Hollywood does. They take something and then blow it out of proportion, you know, for the drama of it all. But yeah, I tried not to watch it. I tried to resist, but then, you know, once you watch two or three episodes, you know, it's pretty entertaining. And just the, you know, the music, the soundtrack, and the film work, especially, you know, showing those, you know, like the Cutting Horses in particular, which, of course, you know, the producer of the whole series is kind of the real deal on that front. He's got a big ranch down in Texas, so the video work is incredible in it. You know what I find also is worth pointing out here, and I think you'll agree, Evelyn? So because of tax incentives, that brought in $334 million to the state of Montana. Now, the reason I point that out is because some of the very liberals who oppose tax cuts for the rest of us, they love tax cuts for the film industry. And it's like, wow.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, you know, and generally I'm not supportive of, you know, subsidizing any industry. And, I wonder, you know, is it really necessary? Wouldn't they come here? I mean, look at our mountains and stuff. Do you have to get paid money to come here and use that as a backdrop? I think they would come anyway, but
potentially, yeah. Although, you know, like before those incentives, you'd see like, well, heck, like one of the best movies kind of about Montana, I thought, was Legends of the Fall. And a lot of that was filmed up in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. You liberals who love tax cuts for the film, give it to the rest of us, too.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There's little question that Donald Trump won the debate last night. He's just a more forceful speaker. Joe Biden was hindered by a weak voice, a blank stare while Trump was talking, and he lost his train of thought in the first 15 minutes. Now, both candidates ducked questions repeatedly. With Donald Trump, it was January 6th. It was pledging to abide by the results of this year's election. And it was climate change. With Joe Biden, it was late-term abortions, among other things. The one time that Joe Biden got mad had to do with a comment about the military, and he talked about his late son, Bo. In the second half hour, it seemed like the current president needed to catch up. He knew that. And so he talked about convicted felons, sex with a porn star. Hitler had some good ideas. Morals of an alley cat. CNN was fair. But for Biden, who needed to catch up and change the narrative, that didn't happen. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Supreme Court struck down the Chevron deference, which is good news for farmers and ranchers, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. The Federation's Travis Cushman says the most important takeaway from the case is a restored balance of power at the federal level.
The key is that agencies will no longer be able to say how much power they have. What previously happened is courts would defer to agencies for an agency's interpretation of its power. And after this decision, courts will now be the ones to decide that, not agencies themselves.
He said the decision sets a new legal precedent for a broad swath of government agency regulations.
So many regulations that we believe that whether it's USDA, EPA, labor, push the bounds of what Congress intended. And this will force those agencies to reevaluate how much authority they have to regulate and allow us to challenge them when they've gone too far.
Cushman says the American Farm Bureau has been involved in this case for many years.
In this case, we led an industry coalition on this. We filed a brief that looked a whole lot like this court's final decision. The court more or less did everything we said they should do, the same reasons we said they should.
That was Travis Cushman, Deputy General Counsel for the American Farm Bureau Federation. I'm Lane Northlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see, a little calendar recon for you here. From 8 to 10, we're going to have plenty of time to take your phone calls on any topics under the sun. Probably starting around 8:20, I'm thinking, because I had one addition to our lineup this morning. William Perry Pendley, you guys remember him from the Mountain States Legal Foundation back in the day. He goes all the way back to the Reagan administration, fighting for those of us here in the West. And then he was a top Bureau of Land Management official under President Donald J. Trump. But I wanted to get his reaction to what they're referring to as the Chevron decision out of the United States Supreme Court last week, because this is a very important decision to highlight. So he's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we should, starting around 8 o'clock this morning, we should start hearing about any new decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court as well, because I think they're supposed to release any of their final rulings today. So that should be some fresh news headlines for you at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Back to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, we did our big border security rallies all across, several major towns across Montana last week. You've got some new numbers on the northern border, as I understand it.
Well, I hope they're new. You maybe had newer ones. I don't know. But the reports are of increased border crossings on the northern border. The number of crossings are breaking records, according to data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, as reported in Center Square. The northern border is seeing the highest number of illegal entries in the United States history. In May, 18,644 foreign nationals were apprehended illegally entering the U.S., which is the highest total for the month of May ever recorded. In the first 8 months of fiscal 2024, we haven't had 8 months. In the first few months.
Well, that's because they go by fiscal year. So
right.
So they right. Go back to last October. Yep.
Okay. I just suddenly saw that 8 months. Anyway, more than 99,000 people were apprehended after illegally entering the northern border. If the current trajectory continues, the numbers are on track to surpass 2023 apprehensions of 147,666. And it's important to note that the numbers exclude gotaways, which are foreign nationals who illegally enter the U.S. between the ports of entry, and they are not recorded. This data does not generally get publicly reported either. The Border Patrol agents at the northern border are also apprehending the greatest number of known or suspected terrorists. In the first 6 months of fiscal 2024, they apprehended 143 suspected terrorists on the northern border. As of June, that number is now up to 199, which by comparison exceeds those of the southern border, where 117 suspected terrorists were apprehended over that same period of time. The northern border is reported to be under-resourced by far compared to the southwest border, according to Center Square. Cartels are expanding their operations by flying people into Canada, which doesn't require a visa, so it's much easier to go to Canada and come across the border. And it should be noted that the northern border is under-resourced by far compared to the southwest border. So, most of those crossings happen in the northeast, at the border in Vermont and New Hampshire and
those New England states. Yeah, exactly. That's where the bulk of these numbers are taking place, given the urban populations in that part. But of course, wide open along our northern border. We've got great Border Patrol agents up there, and they've got great assistance when it comes to patrolling the border, thanks to our farmers and ranchers. Really, without them, my goodness, and they're some of the best eyes and ears out there. But yeah, it's completely wide open. And as a retired Border Patrol chief Chris Clem told us on this show Friday morning in the 9 o'clock hour, of course it's a major security gap right now. Well, Evelyn Pyburn, always appreciate your time. Always appreciate your coverage. Thanks for being with us here every Monday.
You bet.
Have a great 4th of July.
You too.
I will. I definitely will. Well, it's great to have you. By the way, speaking of 4th of July, cookout costs are up. Evelyn's got the numbers from the American Farm Bureau Federation and the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning as well. So make sure you check that out. Sign up for the print edition as well. Speaking of our northern border and the known or suspected terrorists that are crossing our northern border in bigger numbers than even our southern border, if it's not in the Fox News update, I'll share the news story about how there is a terrorism threat alert for U.S. military bases.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A Supreme Court opinion is about to be announced about how much immunity former President Trump has from prosecution on charges he tried to overturn the 2020 election results illegally.
During arguments, it was he should be immune from everything or he should be immune from nothing. You got to think the court is going to find some level of immunity for acts within office. And then how do you define an official act? Will the Supreme Court do that? Will they send it back to the lower court, which further delays this whole thing moving forward?
Chief legal correspondent Shannon Bream on Fox and Friends. Steve Bannon is ordered to report to prison today.
After being denied Friday by the U.S. Supreme Court for a delay in sentencing pending an appeal, it's 4 months in prison for former President Trump advisor Steve Bannon for ignoring congressional subpoenas. He claimed executive privilege.
Fox's Jeff Benasso. Bannon was subpoenaed by a House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot. America's listening to Fox News.
Oh, let me share Steve Bannon's response. You just heard that Steve Bannon news. I'll get to the terror threat. U.S. bases in Europe are on high alert, apparently after a serious terrorism threat in Europe. And my question is, well, don't you think they would also face a significant threat here on home soil as well, given the number of terrorists that have been allowed to cross our southern and northern borders? And when we heard these numbers from Evelyn, that's just the people they know about. That doesn't include the gotaways. The gotaways are people that they know got into this country, but they weren't able to track them down. They saw them, but they couldn't get them. But then there's the unknown gotaways that they don't even know about, right? So why wouldn't we have a similar threat here on home soil if there's a threat on European soil? But first, Steve Bannon, you just heard that update. He is being sent to federal prison. Once again, this shows our weaponized Department of Justice under Joe Biden, political prisoners. Once again, how many Obama-era officials ignored a congressional subpoena? Oh, but Steve Bannon ignores a congressional subpoena, and they're going to send him to prison. Where are all these Obama-era officials that should have been behind bars years ago? But listen, I love Steve Bannon. You know, Steve Bannon's always been a warrior. Listen to his response. Charlie Kirk shared this on his X page. Steve Bannon, on his last Friday show before he's sent to federal prison by a weaponized DOJ, has the pitch-perfect message to conservatives everywhere. Here's what Steve Bannon had to say in part on his Friday show.
People ask me, what can you do? Listen, pray for our enemies. I don't have time. Do not write a letter to me at all. It will not be read. I am not going to take a second to read your letters. I'm not. Because you know why? I don't want you taking time to write a letter. I want you to get to work. This is all about victory. This is victory or nothing. There's no substitute for victory here. There is no substitute for victory. You know that. I know that. Use your time, husband your resources, and use your time. And your time is not sending me some missive in prison that I'm not going to read. You know why I'm not going to read? Because I'm going to be working outside of my job in prison. I'll be working the rest of the hours on what? Total and complete victory.
All right. What a powerful message there from Steve Bannon. Don't send me a letter. get to work to save this country. All right. I'll get to that story about our U.S. military bases coming up after the next break. You know, we talk about the pain that people are experiencing in our country right now. Mostly it's economic pain, crime. But some of you are experiencing other types of pain, pain in your knees, pain in your hips, pain in your back. And I get it. You're trying to dodge surgery. You're trying to dodge those opioids for good reason. You don't want to get hooked on those things, right? But hey, what if there was a natural way for you to get over that pain? Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They specialize in natural biologics, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue with no downtime. You can call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
Bullet points.
What more will happen in federal courts regarding gun law and other rules outside of actual law? There's still a lot of analysis ongoing over the recent ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court in the case of Zaki Rahimi. The court upheld the idea of federal level orders preventing people who are accused of but not yet convicted of domestic violence from possessing firearms. And the Garland v. Cargill ruling states the ATF banning of bump stocks was unconstitutional, leaving room for Congress to do it in the future. Senate Republicans blocked a bill to do just that, but the high court is also sending a different case back to a lower court to be re-ruled upon. In the Geddes v. ATF case, the D.C. Circuit Court ruled in favor of the ATF being allowed to ban bump stocks. Now, due to the Cargill decision, the Supreme Court is vacating it and wants the lower court to reassess. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Some very interesting brain research being done at the University of Montana that could significantly help our military veterans and more people who struggle after a TBI. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We kicked off the show on Monday talking about that. We took you to Butte. We got to talk to Tim Montana, Colt Anderson, the Grizz great, former NFL player. We talked about what they're doing in Butte right now and so much more. If you missed 1 second, download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Click the on-demand.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me play this news report for you. I had wondered if it would have come up in the 7:30 update, but let me get to it for you here. Apparently, U.S. military bases throughout Europe have been issued a warning. U.S. Central Command issuing a warning to American military bases throughout Europe. Here's Fox News Radio's John Scott.
U.S. military bases across Europe on high alert right now over concerns of a possible terrorist attack. A U.S. defense official telling Fox News there is credible intel that an attack could happen over the next week or so. The level of force protection has now been raised to its second highest level. The bases include U.S. Army Garrison in Germany, where U.S. European Command is headquartered.
All right, there you go. Now, of course, they're issuing this alert to bases in Europe, but why wouldn't a similar alert go out to bases in the United States of America as well, given the fact that our, you know, borders have been completely wide open to known and suspected terrorists now for three straight years. All right. And then, of course, there was other tragic news. If you hadn't seen nor heard the headlines, out of Great Falls, Montana, Malmstrom Air Force Base, they had a vehicle accident. Several injuries, at least one airman killed. So I'll get to that news headline for you here in just a few minutes as well. But let's jump right into it here. We've got Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus here in this special segment paid for by Reminisce Angus. But it's been great to catch up with Brian Massard. Man, we've had so much fun, Brian, catching up. You know, it's like, you know, here I thought we'd just be talking about your beef, And, man, we get to talk about so many topics under the sun. I think the last time we had you on, we were talking about how you gone down to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and had the ear of the RFK presidential campaign. So great to have you back on.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. It's good to visit with you. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
That's right.
In the beef industry. And since we got into the beef industry, you know, it's no longer, it's ultimately got to be about our survival in this beef thing. We've got to survive and get people buying it, buying a local product, buying a good product, not just because it's local. We don't ask people to do that. But we got into it and found out, you know, we kept asking questions. Why aren't people eating more? Why are ranchers struggling so much? And the subject just got way beyond us. And we started paying attention. And gosh, our, you know, the RFK presidential campaign team are about the only ones that are aware of chronic illness in America. 60% of Americans chronically ill suffer from something. Our Medicare and Medicaid budgets are five times our military budget. And when you think about that, that all comes down to the lack of saturated fat in our diets. It all comes down to statin drugs came out in 1987, and then all of a sudden, a 300 LDL level that used to be okay and was normal, now it had to be down to 200 so that they could put you on these drugs. It's, our health in this country is a mess, and there's only, those are the only guys that seem to be aware of it. And to hear them say that the cow may be the number one thing we have as a resource in our toolbox is absolutely amazing, because I don't think, you know, I've been a Trump supporter, very strong Trump supporter, worked in that administration, but they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about health, nutrition, and obviously Biden doesn't have a clue about anything, where he is or who he is. But, yeah, the beef is pretty important. Supporting smaller places like Reminis Angus is very important, because I don't ever badmouth the big guys. They're just a simple, they are just a symptom of people being told saturated fat is bad, and all the little places went away, ranches, feeders, small packing houses, because they couldn't sell it at a profit. And that creates these huge mega companies, and now they can't even support it. That they have outside money pouring in to prop it up, and we've got to do that. And hell, those big companies are invested in alternative-based foods. All four of those big packers are heavily invested in plant-based proteins. And so
crazy.
They really don't care what they're selling you. But when you see a Reminis Angus jerky or beef sticks in a store, you're supporting Montana. You're supporting a voice that's out there working harder than anybody to save ranching.
Good tasting stuff, too. I told you, I picked some up in Livingston, you know, on a recent drive, and got the Reminis Angus, and very tasty stuff, very tender, you know, where it's not that, you know, you're not like Chevy Chase eating Cousin Eddie's turkey on Christmas or Thanksgiving, right? You said something interesting right now, and it, I want to point this out, because you said when we first decided to get into the beef business or the beef industry, because you've always been in the cattle business, right? You know, your family ranch goes back to what, the early 60s. So you know, most Montanans would think, well, wait a minute, you're a cattle rancher. You're already in the beef business. You're in the beef industry. Why is that a particular distinction for you? Explain that for our listeners.
Well, We're all part of the beef industry, and I know there's a couple of organizations out there that say absolutely not, we're in the cow industry and we don't care about the beef industry. And that's just such a short-sighted approach, because somebody has to eat this product at the end of it, or you don't have a cattle industry. And so the beef industry and the cow industry have got to, they're all one. So when we're breeding cows out here 2 years later, somebody's got to eat it, somebody's got to like to eat it. And we weren't aware of what goes on. A lot of ranchers sell their calves right off the cow, and that's the end of it. And so they pay attention to everything from buying the genetics until they sell it. Some ranchers will feed them for a while. Some of them, very few of them, will own them all the way to the big packing houses, and then they get paid according to how good they are. That's a small, small percentage. I would say less than 5% do that. But then from there, beyond those doors of the packing house, there are, I don't know if it's a tenth of 1% that own that product on the other side. And I didn't have a clue when I was a rancher. I mean, I was involved in stock growers and NCBA for a long time and other organizations, and we thought we had it all figured out what happened on the other side. And we don't. We don't. There's so many hands that touch that. And everybody in the agribusiness makes money off of agriculture, and we take what's left. And when you get into that beef business, you've got distributors, you've got, they are so, it's, there's a lot of detail to it, and there's a ton of competition in that. And so you've got to define a measurable difference in your product to make it. And that's a tough deal, and I didn't realize that. You know, we all thought as a rancher, I thought as a rancher, I've heard for 30 years, all we got to do is tell them it's from Montana, and they'll buy it and spend money. Well, that is not true. You won't do that.
Yeah, and that's why you've talked so much about producer profitability and how you've been able to take really and your beef jerky business in particular, and by providing a high quality product, that's how you've been able to enhance producer profitability. And so many are focused on that and getting more, you know, meat processing here in Montana and much more. So, you know, the RFK, I think the one thing folks have really appreciated about RFK is he really went after the fact that they were trying to force this COVID shot on everybody. And I think as a result, it's opened up everybody's eyes about, okay, well, if they could screw this up so badly from a public health standpoint, what else are they screwing up so badly from a public health standpoint? So if Trump takes over in January, what do you think he needs to do from a health standpoint, particularly with regard to beef?
Well, he's got to let some voices in there of reason in that USDA, and he did have some good people in overall in the USDA. We worked with them with the Forest Service and stuff, but he is pretty tied to money. His ag guy when he was in there last time was a big soybean guy, and of course the U.S. dietary guidelines are, they have been pushing soybeans and vegetable oils for a long time. That is a huge business. And so we've got to penetrate that. If he gets in there, he has got to listen to some folks. He's got to listen to our industry, and our own industry has got to get educated about saturated fat is good for you. It is healthy. There is the amount of people that are aware of that, and even the amount of people that believe it after they hear it is so small. Our industry is very timid about saying that.
Well, it's taken off. It's taken off because that's why people want like these carnivore diets and more healthy meats, healthy fats in their diet. They understand. I think more and more they're understanding how important it is. Less than a minute to go. Brian Massard, Reminisce Angus. How can folks find your products, buy your products, et cetera?
Well, you can go to all the Town Pump stores. They've got all of our jerky sticks and our beef sticks, and you can order online. You can get more than that. You can go to order online at remangusbeef.com. That's the best way to get it. We've got folks doing taste tests all across the country sending us emails about how good it is.
Kind of funny, it's REM Angus. I hear REM sleep. One friend that's on the carnivore diet said he's getting better REM sleep after eating those healthy fats and animal proteins as the bulk of his nutrition now. Brian Massard, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron. Have a great week.
Hey, you too. Apparently, I missed you at that cigar roundup in the Bitterroot a couple weeks ago, too. But
you missed good steaks. Those were inch and a half bone-in ribeyes.
Next year, let's do it. Next year, I'll be there.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News commentary.
Another young girl was reportedly murdered by an illegal immigrant. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's been 0 days since an illegal alien has murdered an innocent young girl. An illegal from Ecuador is accused of suffocating, murdering, and then burying a 21-year-old girl in Syracuse on her birthday. Her remains were found in a shallow grave near an area park. The Ecuadorian illegal alien is charged with second-degree murder and concealment of a human corpse. He turned himself in this week. Officials say the illegal alien accused of this heinous act was caught and released at the border last year, a pattern that is becoming all too regular with Biden's open border policies in place. Young women in America are the most vulnerable targets for those in our country seeking to rape and murder. Democrat apologists continue to shrug off this crisis with talking points or worse, complete avoidance. Democrats do not care about women, just abortion. And here is just another tragic example. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine told me decades ago, it takes a genius to make it simple, to which I would add, truthful and simple. At least in the realm of the discussion of the adequacy of electricity supply. Few of us have had full exposure to the complexity of how the generation, transportation, and distribution of electricity to every city, home, and business actually works. But that hasn't stopped us from having strong opinions on everything from retiring coal plants to banning Bitcoin miners. To those who do know how the system works and where the choke points are in the flows of power to the places it needs to go, the remedy is simple. Get educated. For most of us, that's not a workable option. It would take the equivalent of a college semester to get a passable understanding of power planning to be fully conversant in its issues. Where is that genius? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the
16263.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you got something quick you want to throw out there, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970. Or if you want, you can wait till later on in the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock hours of the show, and we'll have the phone lines open for you as well. I just realized we need to go in and check our app messages. Got some messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. Let's see. Right on, John in Bozeman says this. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was playing that audio of Nancy Pelosi as she started to freeze up several times, just like she was Joe Biden in the debate on Thursday night. Right on, John says this. Donald Trump took two mental health tests and aced them both. Biden, Pelosi, and everyone in the Senate and Congress should be mandated to take and pass this test every 2 years, period. That's from right on, John. Wuzzle fuzzle bob. That's the official reaction from Joe Biden. That one is wuzzle fuzzle bob. Anyway, Tim and Savage says this. Last Thursday, it was made clear to the entire world that we have a weak and ailing leader. The high alert at bases in Europe is not a surprise at all. Our enemies see the weakness and the vulnerability of the United States. God help us all. That's from Tim and Savage out there on the Mondakistan border. Tim, no, I had a similar thought that you did. I was like, man, I said, when I saw that there was this terror threat alert for all these U.S. military bases in Europe, I thought, yep, once again, the sharks smell blood in the water. And what do they do when sharks smell blood in the water? That's right. They sense weakness and they attack. That's what happened after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And they sensed Putin sensed weakness in Joe Biden. And that's when he attacked Ukraine. Putin didn't attack Ukraine. Well, Donald J. Trump was the president of the United States, did he? Let's see. Katie Pavlich, townhall.com. She was on the Big Weekend show on Fox News over the weekend. Talking about just how serious things are getting with Joe Biden at the helm.
Katie, it's really difficult to watch those clips. Now, the minority leader in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, says that setbacks are just setups for a comeback. I don't know if you can come back from whatever is ailing the president. I'm not going to be like Nancy Pelosi and play armchair physician, but something is going on. And what do you think is happening at this hour?
Well, first I would say, the country is in a very dangerous position right now with the president of the United States in this cognitive state that everybody can see around the world. Lucas Clemenson also is reporting that all U.S. military bases in Europe have been put on a heightened alert status due to a potential terrorist attack because there's credible intel to show something may happen. Wow. And this is what we are having to deal with in the commander-in-chief, only being available from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, the Democrats have known about this problem for months. I talked to a big Democratic donor, has big influence in the party, probably 5 months ago, and he said, we should have done this earlier, we should have had a real primary.
That was my question, like, should they have let the primary
process? We didn't do it, and now we're stuck with Biden, and now they're really in a pinch, given that the DNC convention is a month and a half away. The logistics here are very difficult when it comes to ballot access, timing. Early voting starts in a lot of places in September.
Yeah.
And so here they are now having to not only convince everybody that what they're seeing isn't true about Joe Biden, but now they have to make the case to the American people that he's the guy who is the commander in chief and capable of protecting the country. And given the high stakes around the world currently, that's not being portrayed.
Well, it certainly doesn't feel like he's in charge. So, you know, that leads everyone to ask, well, who is in charge?
Yeah, Katie Pavlich just said something important. She was talking with a Democrat donor, Democrat insider, who said, yeah, we've known for months that Biden was like this, but now it's wide out there in the open. It's another reminder. When John Tester told you that Joe Biden is 100% with it, John Tester was lying to you. He is a phony, he is a fraud, and he's a liar.